Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Good afternoon, everybody. Bobby Welch here. And of course, I've got with me Pat Sherlock.
Pat. Hi, Bobby. Yeah, another great topic that certainly I think everyone will get a lot out of. Good questions are more powerful than great statements.
At least if you want to sell things.
You're in another position. That's a different thing.
Yeah. You know, maybe if you're a politician, maybe not so much. But yeah, if you're in sales and you want to maximize your commission check, nothing could be closer to the truth. When you came up with this topic, I'm just kind of curious, like, what was the inspiration? What was the gravity and the importance that you thought we had to talk about when you came up with this? Because it's a great topic.
Well, it certainly centers on the fact that I think loan officers, as a general rule, are individuals that are great at making statements such as, my lender has the lowest pricing, my lender has the widest products, my lender has the best products. And so this litany of everything about the lender and why they're so wonderful is really an issue that I see over and over again. And I think that, as you've already mentioned, it's a fatal mistake in the world of selling for a lot of reasons. And I think that when you look about this issue, and again, in the big picture, great questions really do start with mastering, I think, the art of listening, which is sorely needed in this world. I do think that certainly what we see from a personality behavior component that we call this listening low expressiveness, we do see that as a predictive sales trait. So that is important to understand that great questions aren't writing down a list of questions. It's about listening first. And then from that, the more you listen, basically, the more you'll be able to sell. So first off, it starts with mastering the art of listening.
Yep. You know, and that's so interesting because it flies. How many times have we heard somebody say, so-and-so would make a great salesperson because they can talk to anyone?
Right. Yeah.
And they talk about the good talkers, the fast talkers. You know, they can sell ice cubes to an Eskimo. And I've certainly seen it. And when I'm coaching, those of us that can, I'm not even going to pretend that I'm amazing at it. I'm better at it now than I certainly was 10 years ago. But when we learn to be quiet, ask probing questions, and then allow a conversation to unfold, asking deeper and more relevant questions, that really is the black belt in sales, right?
Well, I think the next part to it, certainly listening and having, in other words, the prospect or whoever going on and on and on, that is not all that's involved. Certainly listening is a first step, but the second step is what I call actively directing the course of the conversation. So you're listening to therefore ask questions that will direct the course of the conversation. So it really is a two-prong effort. And the third prong is your question sequence is showing that you care about the lender or care about the consumer or the referral source, whoever it is that you're marketing to, and that you are curious about how they view whatever it is that you're discussing. So it's really a three-prong process. First is the art of listening and mastering that. The second part is the ability and talent and skill to actively direct the course of the conversation. And the third part is really generating through your question sequence that you care and that you have a curiosity about that particular individual that you're speaking to.
Yep. When you talk about directing the conversation, pretty much through the next question you're going to ask, right? So you've listened,
right?
You've asked a question, you've listened, you've heard something of interest that applies to the sales conversation, right?
Right.
Specifically, probably a need or a want or an aspiration that they have. And then that informs you of the next question to ask. It seems to me that also takes a good deal of presence and self-awareness, because I think when I watch people who have a hard time doing that, it's because they're already thinking about what they're supposed to say next.
Well, I think it's a good opportunity now to maybe give an example of what would be a good salesperson versus a bad salesperson. Let's say that your prospect in their discussion talks about how the ease of use is really important to them. Let's pretend we're talking about software so we can even take it away from the world of mortgages. The prospect says ease of use is really important to us. Well, the bad salesperson would say, great, our software is easy to use. Okay. And that would be a common reaction, that once that salesperson has heard ease of use, that they are pontificating on how their product has ease of use. When the prospect has said, ease of use is really important to us, the better salesperson would say, what do you mean? So by asking, what do you mean? And actually that question, what do you mean, is really one of the most important words that a salesperson can learn. Because what does that mean then allows that prospect to further elaborate and really reveal where they really are coming from, what's really important to them. And so the difference between the bad salesperson, once they heard ease of use, they started pontificating about how their product's easy to use. The good salesperson jumps into asking more questions so that person will describe more particularly by asking, what do you mean? So I think that's a really good example of, it has the combinations of, I'm listening, but I'm also actively directing the course of the conversation by asking, what do you mean? And so at the end, you are more effective by going down that path.
Yep, absolutely. So in the first example where the salesman, and you can call it whatever you want, but they pull the trigger a little too quick and they just move directly to the feature right. of their product. In that, they're really missing the opportunity to understand the person's needs at a heck of a lot deeper level, but then more importantly, communicate to the person that you are like really, really interested in what they want and need.
Right. That's how you're conveying the care and the curiosity component of it. So it allows yep. the salesperson to have a much better type of conversation versus a salesperson that they heard some magic words. They know they're supposed to talk about ease of use. So then they jump in by saying, yes, we have ease of use, when really they haven't found out enough about how that person defines ease of use. So again, this whole issue of asking good questions does require a discipline component to it, a practice component of it. And the biggest activity that I would recommend for our listeners today is to record yourself. I cannot tell you that enough. Recording yourself is so easy to do, but it's an activity that does give you this insight of really nailing down where is the gap that you're having in your good question sequence versus just pontificating with. And really, when we talk great statements about our lender, we're really just saying me, 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 me continuously. And that obviously is not effective.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So inside the question blueprint, roadmap, whatever term you want to do it, but you know, kind of the trail of questions that a salesperson would build, because you know, I think you can't overscript this, because if you overscript it, obviously you're going to get trapped in not being able to be flexible with the replies and where the right. client needs it to go. But you do need an inventory of questions to bring you back on track and to arrive at a close or a no-fit decision. Is there a process that you recommend? Is there, you know, how would you coach somebody on how to convert their current statement-oriented, PowerPoint-oriented type sales pitch and convert that to a question-based probing presentation?
Well, I think there's three questions that every good salesperson has to have ingrained in their mind that become part of how you handle your conversations that you have with a prospect. And that starts with one I've already mentioned, which is, what does that mean? So when the person talks about whatever it is they're talking about, like in this case, I use the example of ease of use, then you are asking the defining question, what does that mean? So that lets that person certainly elaborate more. Another question that really should be part of your sequence is, do you have an example of that? In other words, so when the person said about ease of use, then that next question of, do you have an example of that, would give you a much deeper conversation than certainly not asking it. And the famous third question is making sure that you incorporate, can you tell me more? So when the person said ease of use was really important to them, then you're asking the question, can you tell me more? So I think from a practice standpoint, what I would suggest is that these three types of questions become what you ask next when the customer or referral source has defined, like in this case, ease of use. It could be how fast your loan closes. You know, that's where you're coming up with these three types of questions that you should be asking before you make a statement of, yes, we can meet your requirement of ease of use or how fast you want to close a loan. So it's important to recognize that those questions are critical to making sure that you get more in depth and have a better conversation than an originator that just talks about how great their lender is. Yep. And how great they are. So.
Yeah. So really, you're talking about the art of clarifying and, right, and getting somebody real specific. And it's interesting because I completely embrace that type of sales. I've done it a long time myself. I've sat through a ton of these type of sales calls. And it's pretty interesting because it enables the client or the potential client to make a decision. It actually takes the pressure and the stress associated with the decision off of them. And many times you aid them in making a stronger decision they're more confident in by the end of it. Are you familiar with the book, Spin Selling? I mean, it's a classic.
Sure, it's a classic, sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that book because I'm a big believer that a lot of the things we do, especially in sales, have been passed down through generations of salespeople without really rigorous testing. And a lot of the things that we're told in seminars and things that we should do actually don't work, or even worse, can hurt our sales. And Spin Selling is one of the best books as far as, you know, they took the time. I think it's, what's his name? Neil Rackham.
Yeah.
And one of the things I respect about his work so much is, I mean, they did so much tracking of results as they played with stuff. And they found, you know, they found a lot of the manipulative sales techniques that were probably very popular in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, like always be closing and the assumptive close and all these things that they really try to train you to box somebody into a decision. They backfire on large purchases. When a purchase has a significant impact, these will actually work against you. They might work if you're trying to sell somebody a $20 widget. At some point, the amount of stress it takes to resist you versus just shelling $20 to buy it, you know, that payoff just flips. And a lot of times they'll just cave in because the $20 is the less painful route. So it works for those lower end, but the higher end stuff, it doesn't. And my point to all this is, in that book, one of my big takeaways I remember was the importance of, and I may not be using the proper terminology, but the impact questions. In other words, on those big purchase items, when you get somebody clear on what the impact of buying it, and then also what the impact of not buying it creates, that the more clear you can get them around that, the easier it is to have a smooth close.
Well, I think, yeah, the important point, and I think you're right on with the impact question, but really the important point is that you need the potential prospect to do that clarification. So when the originator or the salesperson is the one doing the clarifying, the person doesn't, they will not aligned with that as being trustworthy. So I think really the concept and these questions that I gave as an example allow the prospect, whoever that is, to really talk more in depth. And when people are listening to themselves speak, they're going to be more trustworthy of their own speaking. And so all this means is, as a salesperson, our best tool is our questions and our ability and awareness to allow that person, by asking some questions that I've already mentioned today, will get that prospect to speak more. And that's your biggest tool and biggest success rate, because the customer is really selling themselves, is what it boils down to. And when you make a statement that we have the best loan, there's a natural hesitation to believe you, because they don't know you. You are basically someone new to them. Why should you be trustworthy? So the whole point of good questions are really all about letting the prospects speak about what basically are their criteria and how they value whatever it is that they're saying is important. So you're right on. And I do think that too often what I see is that the originators will delve into this statement component and not really let the customer speak and define what it is that matters to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've only got a couple minutes. Any additional tips or advice to a loan officer who's used to being more of a speaking, presenting type loan officer to convert their approach to this?
Well, I think, as I've already mentioned, the biggest tool that you can have is to record your phone conversations. And that's very simple to do, whether it's a cell phone. There are apps that are on your cell phone that you can do that, so you can really kind of listen to what you say. And likewise, I would highly recommend that, because that allows you to really, you might think that you are asking questions, but I think when you listen to yourself and you hear that you jumped in too early and the person didn't have an opportunity to really elaborate. So I would say the takeaway is to certainly record yourself. And if you're not able to do that, depending upon your state and whatever, then I would say role play. Role play is your best strategy, to role play with someone else that you can go through this component. Did you let that person speak? If you jumped in too early, that's certainly not a positive thing to do.
Yep. And you know, I tell you what, I would recommend to the listeners too that you take the advice of some role play and the recording really seriously, because it'll dramatically accelerate your progress. Also, I just recommend sitting down. You know, you probably have a certain number of talking points that you make in your average coffee presentation or formal presentation, and just, you know, review those talking points. You can keep the same order and convert them into questions. Just figure out, you know, instead of telling them about this, what question can I ask to open up a conversation around the same topic, and then probe what's important to them, and then being able to confirm what I can and can't do around it. There's one huge benefit, by the way. I've helped a lot of loan officers walk through this transition before. We've all been on the sales calls, like you sit down, you're super excited about like some new jumbo product, and then you tell your realtor, your new agent, all about it and how excited you are. And then they stare you in the eyes and they say, oh yeah, I don't do any jumbo loans. And you just wrecked your first impression. Now you're the jumbo guy to the realtor who doesn't do any jumbo loans. And this method of selling is so powerful, and it really helps close people a lot smoother and a much more service-oriented way. So great topic to bring up, Pat.
Well, again, just want to summarize for everyone. Obviously, the art of listening is, and the skill of listening should be your certainly number one takeaway. The second part is, through your questions, you actively do direct the course of the conversation. And then, yes, you know, finally, what you're trying to really convey through your questions, that you are care and that you are interested and curious about them. And that's a much different positioning than someone that just is a robot and gets up there and talks about their lender. So again, crucial topic for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Pat, thank you again. And I guess we'll be speaking again here soon.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.